yourselves, let the whole world know Christ was born in Bethlehem many years ago. 208 in your hymnals, please. 208. Now as you turn, if you will note, please, that we're singing the first stanza straight through to the middle of the second page. On that second stanza, when you get to the bottom of the first page, you need to go over to the middle and start there on that second stanza. You watch me when we get there, and I'll get you there safely and well. So you sing together 208. Excuse me, 224. We're going to 224, singing together the birthday of a king. Number 224, shall we stand, please?
Thank you.
Matthew. Would you be seated, please?
Well, if angels sang as they did, hallelujah to the Lord, how much more should we, who have benefited so much by the Savior's birth? We're glad that you're here this evening, and we trust that you're anticipating a blessing from the Lord, that your hearts are open to that, and that as we sing together, as we consider His Word and fellowship, that the Lord will minister through all those means to bring you closer to Himself and make you more Christ-like and prepare you for service, especially this special time of the Christmas season. Several items we want to bring to your attention, but before we go to that, let's review our memory verse in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. We'll say the reference together and then the verses and then the reference again. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. I know we had a number of visitors this morning with us, and it's always our delight to host those that are visiting with us, whether from out of town or from in town. And if you are visiting with us this evening, we welcome you. We hope that you'll be back again soon and make this a home for you. But we would like to have a record of your visit. We don't want to miss out on knowing that you were here. If you would pull a visitor's card from the pew rack in front of you and fill that out, and then when the offering plates come by, you can drop that in. We would appreciate it very much. You'll note in the bulletin that a number of special events coming up this week. Of course, we have the Christmas Eve services, both at 7 o'clock and 11 o'clock, and we have a special need, not for the 11 o'clock. We've got the nursery taken care of then. Are you awake? Okay. At 7 o'clock, though, we still do need nursery workers, and we had a few sign up this morning, but we need a number more. So please, this is a chance for both men and women to take part in that ministry. So that service can be what it should be. We'd appreciate you signing up the reception desk immediately following the service. And then on Friday, the Fleming Mizell wedding, and we're looking forward to that. Hope that you can be there for that. You'll note also in the bulletin that the Christmas offering will be split between the staff here and three Christian camps, the Wilds in North Carolina, Lucerne Christian Conference Center in California, and also in California, Ironwood Christian Camp. And so your giving to that special offering will be taking part in the lives and ministries of many people, many ministries. All right. A week ago yesterday, the Hampton Park quiz teams took part in the monthly Piedmont Quizzing Association competition at Pleasant View Baptist Church. Our teams won 7 out of a possible 13 quizzes. The following young people quizzed out with 5 correct questions in a 20-question quiz. Andrew Carr quizzed out twice, Therese Gittinger, Melissa McAdams, and Jonathan Wise. And in addition, Mary Berg was honored as Quizzer of the Month for her excellent work in November. Our final monthly quiz meet over John chapters 18 through 21 will take place on January 18th at Community Baptist Church in Greer, and we're hoping to see you there. We congratulate these young people on their memory of the Word of God and trust that having made it a part of their hearts, it will be a part of their lives as well. These prayer requests for you. George Kohler continues to improve. He's recognizing people now. We're thankful for that. Both the nurses and the family and doctors are very encouraged. Still a long ways to go, but continue praying for him. Sarah Gibson at Greenville Memorial as well. Herb Parker is out of the hospital now. Jim Ryerson, St. Francis. Joe Graham has a shoulder injury from a motorcycle accident. We want to pray for him. Esther and Jan at home. Pat Fedoroff had outpatient surgery last Monday, and we want to pray for the family of David Bott. That's Dr. and Mrs. Hugh Clark's son-in-law, who died suddenly. I think he was only age 39, and with young children still. And you can imagine how devastating that can be, and we want to pray for the family and for God to use this tragic time. We also want to pray for the angel's daughter and granddaughter. They were involved in a head-on collision. The daughter was released from the hospital, but the granddaughter is still in the hospital with two surgeries for a broken leg. So let's remember them. I guess I'm praying today. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we do thank you. We do thank you for your goodness to us. We pray, Father, that we might display the wonders of who you are, those who claim to know you and who seek to serve you. We pray that the world might see Christ in us. We thank you for this season of the year and the increased opportunity it gives us for sharing your gospel. And we pray, dear Father, that we might be sure to do that as we ought. Lord, we pray for these that are in the hospital and are recovering from various injuries, these that have been touched by death in the family. We pray that you would undertake as the great physician, as the great comforter, and Lord, minister to their need. We pray that you would minister to our needs here this evening. We pray that as we give our offerings, that you might be pleased with what we give, that we might give from the heart, that we might give what is appropriate for how you've given to us. And Lord, we pray that you would speak through your messenger this evening. As Pastor Yerrick opens the Word of God, open our hearts that we might please you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our offertory this evening was played by Jason and Rebecca Stefhoff, and we appreciate their ministry to us in the service today. We're going to sing another congregational song in just one moment, and then Steve Kaminsky will be coming to minister to us before Pastor Yerrick opens the Word of God and preaches God's Word to us. Let's take our hymnals and turn to 227. 227. Now, before we sing that, I know there are five stanzas to this hymn, but the stanzas are a progression, so we really need to sing all five. So you gear up for those five stanzas. Sing well. Who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? 227, shall we stand to sing, please? With just the voices. We'll ask the instruments to join us when we get to the refrain. On that last stanza, everyone on the melody, please, if you will. Lo at midnight. Thank you.
Shine We thank Steve and his accompanist for this special message and song. I forgot to pass along to Pastor Conley word again about Don Morgan, who was the director of Lucerne Conference Center out in California for quite some time, who passed away this week. His funeral was held yesterday, and I trust you'll pray for him and, not for him, he's in heaven. Don't need to pray for him anymore, but pray for his family. Very difficult time for them. They lost a daughter just a few years ago to leukemia, and so they've been through quite a few trials, and just pray the Lord will sustain Mrs. Morgan and the children and all the members of the family. Say a word about that picture that's in the bulletin. You can put it aside now again. Don't just become enamored with it and look at it all through the service. But something, where was that picture taken and when? We haven't had snow like that here for a long time. So that was taken up at Northland when we were up there in October. So even though our faces are a little clouded, it is still a recent picture. So I wanted you to know that. Next Sunday is going to be my final Sunday as senior pastor. And I didn't know quite what to call a message in the morning, whether my last will and testament or my swan song or what it would be. But I think I'll just talk about some things that I hope I've learned during these 39 years. And then next Sunday evening we're going to have two ordinations, provided the men satisfy the council on Saturday. That'll be a part of our service next Sunday evening. And then I'm going to be sharing some more things if I had it to do over again, what I might do differently. So looking forward to next Sunday, and trust you can be here if you're not out of town. And we'll share in this time together. Let's turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, I'll begin to read with the first verse. John 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I was thinking this week about the shepherds and their visit to stable in Bethlehem where Jesus was born, and I wondered if the shepherds ever took any lambs with them when they went to see Jesus. And then Thursday night we had our final school program here, and the Camfields' grandchildren were the shepherds, and they came in carrying some little lambs. Now I'm not saying that the original shepherds did that, But that was, I think they got all of the attention after the shepherds came in carrying those live lambs. Everybody was concentrating on that instead of everything else. But it was just a very good part to the program. But whether they brought lambs with them or not, they certainly were well acquainted with grown sheep and with lambs. Whether they left somebody there to watch the flocks while they were gone, we're not told. But it's interesting to us that the shepherds, as far as we know, were the first human beings, other than Joseph and Mary, to see the baby Jesus. That's significant, I believe, that God chose for humble men like shepherds to be the first one to behold his son as he was cradled there in a manger in Bethlehem. And Jesus closely identified himself with shepherds and with sheep. Especially so here in this chapter, where he says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." And again in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd." Many titles and names are given to the Son of God in the Bible. Probably a few are more endearing than this one, the good shepherd. It's also one of the most intimate. Few relationships are closer than that of a shepherd and his sheep. And it's also one of the most descriptive. It's easy to form a picture in our mind of Jesus Christ as a shepherd. Hebrews 13:20 calls him the great shepherd. And 1 Peter 5:4, the chief shepherd. Some things we learn in these verses regarding the good shepherd. Would you look first of all at verse 3. He says, "The sheep hear his voice," that is, hear the shepherd's voice. "And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." He calls his sheep by name. A leader of a nation or the head of a large organization, an industry or some other organization, may know some of the people by name that are a part of that organization or that are citizens of that country. But certainly not most of them. It's not humanly possible, say, for the President of the United States to know the names of every citizen of our country. It's not even possible for the governor of our state to know all of the names of the people who live in this state. And we have great industries in this state that employ thousands of people, and they can't begin to know the names of all the folks that are associated with that industry. But the Lord knows all his sheep by name. That's hard for us to comprehend. We don't know how many sheep are in the fold, but there are undoubtedly millions and millions of people who've trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior and will never get to heaven and find the Lord asking somebody what our name is, because he knows our name now and he will know our names individually when we stand before him. So this speaks again of that close relationship between shepherd and sheep. However, the knowledge the good shepherd has of his sheep extends far beyond the knowledge of their names. The Lord not only knows our names as his sheep, but he knows everything about us. And we recognize that. There's nothing within us that the Lord does not know. Nothing on the inside or the outside that are ever a surprise to the good shepherd. Now, even a shepherd of four-legged sheep, he knows the outside, but he may not know what, say, if an illness comes upon his sheep, he may not be aware of what is causing that illness. He may not even be aware of what the illness is. But not so with Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He sees the outside, but he also sees the inside. So everything there is to know about us, he knows. Now, sometimes to realize that can be a very sobering thought. On the other hand, it can be a very, very comforting thought to know that wherever I am and whatever befalls me and whatever comes my way, that is known to the good shepherd of the sheep. It says he goes before his sheep in verse 4. When he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Also in verse 3, it says about he called his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Psalm 23, verse 2, tells us that he leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord is my shepherd. We know that psalm so well. And as one of his sheep, he leads me beside the still waters. In the third verse, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. The Lord will never lead us in wrong paths, in evil paths, in wicked paths, but always in the right way. The Lord doesn't push us in the ways that He has not traveled before us. You take an actual shepherd over in the Middle East. They always go before their sheep. They take the path and the sheep follow them. They don't drive their sheep. They don't push their sheep. They lead their sheep. And so it is with us. The Lord leads us, and He has covered the ground before us. He has gone before us, and He has prepared the way. So how wonderful it is to have the leadership of God in our lives. For we'll then walk in ways that are right, and that will end up at the right place. And then He provides for His sheep in verses 9 and 10. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Sheep need pasture. They need food. And He says they'll find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And again, that speaks of the great provision that the Lord makes for us. Going back to Psalm 23 again in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And somebody said we can put anything after that that we desire to, and we're not going to be wanting as the Lord is our shepherd to provide. The second verse again, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And then in verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me. Isaiah 40:11 tells us, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. And as the good shepherd, He's going to take care of His flock. So this is another very becoming title for the Lord Jesus, the Great Provider. In fact, one of the Old Testament names for God is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And as we look through the Gospels, we find many ways in which the Lord provided for those who followed Him while He was here on earth. Remember, He supplied the tax money in order that Peter could pay the taxes for himself and for the Lord in Matthew 17. In Matthew 20, Jesus is the householder who pays his laborers for their laboring in his vineyard. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 8, we have the story of the feeding of the multitudes, the feeding of the 5,000 men on one occasion and 4,000 men on another occasion besides the women and children. In Luke 10, He is the good Samaritan who takes care of the one who is set upon by thieves as he traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho. In Luke 11, Jesus is the friend who rises at midnight to give bread to the one who is knocking at his door. In Luke 14, He's the giver of the great supper. And then as we go over to the Gospel of John, where we are here in John chapter 10, not only do we see Him present Himself as the good shepherd, but in chapter 4, He's the well of living water. In John 6, He's the bread of life. In John 8, He's the light of the world. In John 15, He's the vine that nourishes the branches. So here are at least a dozen ways in which the Lord has or did provide that are recorded for us in the Gospels. We might ask the question, well, what is our need today? We all have needs. What are our needs? If we're ill, He's the great physician. It's not always according to His will to heal everybody who is sick. If He always did that, we trusted Him for that, then we'd never leave this world and go on to heaven. But all of us have been healed. Maybe we can't just look and say, well, I know God touched me in a special way and healed me there, but we've all been sick. In fact, we're here tonight. We've all experienced some healing in our lives. For comfort, He's the God of all comfort. For wisdom, He is perfect in wisdom and knowledge. For love, He is one that sticketh closer than a brother. For direction, He knows the end from the beginning. Financially, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. For power, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. For forgiveness of sin, that's a great thing. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, Matthew 9:5. And then for salvation, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, John 3:17. Dwight L. Moody was a great preacher of the Word of God, and it said that in his Bible, on the page opposite Philippians 4:19, he had written these words, the Christian's banknote. The bank president, my God. The promise to pay shall supply. The amount, all you need. The capital of the bank, the capital assets of the bank, according to his riches and glory. And the cashier's name, Christ Jesus. So the Lord is the great provider. H.A. Ironside said, in the presence of such divine promises, there is no excuse for spiritual poverty. Yes, there are many Christians who are impoverished in many ways as far as the physical and the material is concerned. But no Christian has a need to be spiritually impoverished, because God has supplied all that we need through Jesus Christ, and we are complete in Him. So He provides for His sheep. Then He gives His life for His sheep. We go back again here to John chapter 10, look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now Jesus invested his life in people while he was here on earth in his earthly ministry. That's what he did. Everywhere he went, he was teaching. He was performing miracles. He was showing compassion to people. He was helping them. So his life was invested in people, in helping people, in meeting their needs. And then, of course, he laid down his life on the cross that he might redeem us from our sin. So the good shepherd has given his life, surrendered his life, yielded his all for the sake of the sheep. Also in verse 15, it says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What a shepherd, what a Savior, to hold back nothing but to give his all, to humble himself, to come to this world, that we might have the gift of eternal life because of his sacrifice on the cross. There are a few vocations in which a person gives more of himself than a shepherd who's out here keeping the actual four-legged sheep. I mean, shepherds, maybe not so much here in our own country, but in the Middle East and other nations of the world, they may spend weeks away from home with their sheep day and night. Not just an 8-hour day, not a 40-hour a week, but a 24-hour day. 7 days a week, they're with their sheep. They're there to take care of them, to provide for them, to watch over them. Christ, the good shepherd, as we know, literally gave his life for the sheep. He says in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He willingly surrendered his life for the sake of the sheep. There are those who say, oh, Jesus just got into a bad situation. He thought he was going to take the whole world over and set up a kingdom, and it didn't work out that way, so he became a martyr for a cause. No, Jesus was not a martyr. Jesus was a redeemer. He was a Savior. That's why he came. We know that. He gave the most beautiful life that has ever been given, because his was the perfect life with no flaws in it. Today, the Lord, in a very real sense, is still giving his life for his sheep. For where is our Lord today? Where is this good shepherd today? Has he gone off to heaven and forgotten about us? Has he left us to this world and all of the things that confront us in this world? No. He is serving us today as our intercessor at God the Father's right hand. So he is no less giving of himself today than he did when he was here in this world. Oh, he's going to die again. He's going to be crucified again. But as far as giving himself for us, he is doing that in a very wonderful way. And we have the great opportunity of going through him to God the Father with all of our desires and with all of our needs. We also see here that he is known by his sheep. In verse 4, it says, his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. A lack of assurance of salvation on the part of somebody who has accepted Christ speaks of a lack in our relationship with him. If we indeed are saved, because we know him, we are to know him, we are to recognize him. We are to be in fellowship with him, just as a four-legged variety of sheep is in fellowship with the shepherd. So we say we're a Christian. We're one of the Lord's sheep. Now, what are we following? He says they'll not follow a stranger because they know his voice. A lot of people who call themselves Christians today who are following a lot of false philosophies, and they're following a lot of false teaching, and they're just taking it in, and it's enveloping them, and it's taking over in their beliefs and in their thoughts. It's hard to believe in the light of the words of the Lord Jesus that they are true sheep, that they are true followers of the Lord Jesus. Because if they were, would they be following that which is false and that which is error? I think it's John, and one of the epistles of John said they went out from us because they were not of us. And we see people going away from the truth of the Word of God, renouncing things that they once believed. Would give every indication that they never were a true sheep to begin with. They never were a part of the fold of which Jesus is the shepherd. The Lord says we won't follow strangers if we're a true sheep. We won't hear the voice of strangers. We'll know when strangers call that is not our shepherd calling. We'll know from what strangers are saying that these are not the words of the shepherd. And being in relationship with the shepherd, we will not follow those voices. So we see some wonderful things here that Jesus has told us about himself being the good shepherd. Now the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's the question for us to ask tonight. Is the Lord really my shepherd? If he is my shepherd, he is also my Savior. He has saved me from my sin. We can use many of the other titles and names that are given to the Lord, and these are all true for us if the Lord is our shepherd. Now we might be in the wrong fold. Some might be in the wrong fold tonight. But it's wonderful that you can change folds and you can change shepherds. If you're in a fold of unbelief, you're following a false teacher, you're following the false doctrines, you can change and come to trust in Christ and become a member of his fold and be one of his sheep. So while we have all of these wonderful things about the Lord, I think there's something special about the fact that we can say, if we're saved, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's what I'd ask you, is the Lord indeed your shepherd? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our shepherd, thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that once we're a part of his fold, it's a permanent relationship. If we ever stray, well, we may stray for a while, but we're not going to go down another path continually. If we're true sheep, we'll come back. Lord, thank you that if there's anyone who's a shepherd or a sheep of yours who's straying tonight, that they can come back. They're not out of the fold, they're not out of the flock, but they may be off the path. But Lord, help them know they can come back and be again where you'd have them to be. If there are any here who would say, I am not a sheep of Jesus, he is not my shepherd, help them to know that he can become their shepherd as they trust him. They confess sin, forsake that sin, turn from it, accept the Lord's forgiveness, and accept him as personal Savior. That's how he becomes our shepherd. And Lord, here at Christmas time, with all of the things that are going on, and with Jesus being ignored, primarily in the commercial world, even in the world of government, often in the world of education, what a blessing it is for us to be able to come, sing these songs about his coming to earth the first time, to be able to present him as he is, Savior of the world, the good shepherd of the sheep. Maybe some of us are lacking tonight. We say, well, why hasn't the Lord provided for me in some area of my life? Maybe we've never really trusted Him to provide. Maybe we've never really believed that He would provide. But Lord, we know that He's faithful, that He's true, because You are faithful and true. And therefore, Your Word is true, and You will not forsake Your Word. So Lord, if we have doubts about our relationship with Jesus, if we know we haven't entered into a relationship with Him, or if we have and we've strayed away from the right path for a time, speak to our hearts, deal with us about that, and may decisions be made tonight that will count for eternity. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. In just a minute, we're going to sing number 85, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Sing it for an invitation song and then for a closing song as well. Mentioned Dwight L. Moody. He ministered back in the 1870s. He had a music man by the name of Ira Sankey. In 1875... they spent much of the year in England. They returned home just prior to Christmas. And on Christmas Eve of 1875, we were told that Ira Sankey was on a steamer, that was going up the Delaware River. It was a beautiful night. Stars were out. Winds were calm. The weather was comfortable. A great host of people on that ship. And somebody recognized Mr. Sankey. And they asked him if he would sing. And he realized that his ability to sing was given to him by God, and he was always ready to use that talent. And so he said he would. And he stood there before the people for some few minutes, running over in his mind what he ought to sing. He wanted to sing a Christmas carol. But somehow we're told, his thoughts kept going to this song, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. So finally, he sang all the verses of the song. When he was finished, rather rough-looking man came to him, said to him, Mr. Sankey, did you ever serve in the Union Army during the Civil War? He said, yes, I did. I went into it in 1860. He said, can you recall if you were ever on guard duty on a very moonlit night in 1862? And he said, thought a little bit, and he said, yes, I believe I remember that. He said, well, I was a Confederate soldier, and I was well covered that you did not see me, but I saw you standing there in the moonlight. And I held up my musket, and he said, I knew I had you in my sight. I could kill you, and that's what I planned to do. But he said, about the time that I was going to pull the trigger, you began to sing. And you sang this song that you sang tonight, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. He said, I've always kind of liked music, so I said to myself, well, I'll let him finish his song, and then I'll still kill him. But he said, as you finished that song, my memories went back to my boyhood, to my mother, who was no longer living, and he said, my arm just became limp, and I couldn't pull the trigger. And here he was now on this ship, and he said, when you sang that song tonight, I recognize you as the same person who sang that song back there in the battlefield in 1862. He said, I'm not one of God's sheep. I'm not a part of the fold. But could God forgive me? And there on that ship that night, the story is that those two men embraced, and Ira Sankey led his former enemy to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's sing the first two verses. We'll stand together. If you're here and you have a need tonight, we invite you to come, and we'll meet you here at the front. We want to minister to you the Word of God. We want to share with you what you need this evening. And if you have a need, don't make the mistake of carrying it out with you. Leave it here. Let let Jesus Christ minister to your needs. 85, we'll sing the first two stanzas. Close our eyes, and we'll just ask the instruments to play through this once or twice. If you need to come as others have come, maybe it's to follow the Lord in baptism or to give a testimony of the fact that you are saved and you never let others know that. Maybe it's to become a part of this fellowship here at Hampton Park. We invite you to come. Our Father, once again, we look to Thee and thank Thee for all that Thou hast provided for us through Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask that our relationship with Him may become sweeter as the days go by. Lord, we may love Him more and we may seek to to obey more fully your word, and that we might desire to be used of thee in service. We pray for many of our people that are gone right now, spread out to other parts of the country. We pray that thou wilt use them where they are, and Lord, that they might have good opportunities to witness for thee. For others that are going to be traveling this week, give them safety as they go. All the highways crowded, and planes and all crowded as well. May they have safety as they go to their destinations. And then, Lord, as we go through this week, while we still have many things before us, may we keep before us always why we're doing what we're doing at this time of the year, why we are having vacations, and why we are not maybe having days of work like we normally have. It's because you sent your Son that we might have this opportunity to commemorate his birth. I pray again that you'd be with us as we go from this place. Take us safely to our destinations tonight. For Christ's sake, amen. All right, we have the Al Goodwins coming for membership here. They're down here at the front. They've been attending our services for quite some time. Some of the children are candidates for baptism. And I hope you'll come by and greet these folks. And we have Natalie Blackman coming for baptism. She was baptized when she was a child, but she's gained assurance of her salvation since that. And so since she's sure now that she's saved, she would like to follow the Lord in baptism again. And then we have Ethan Pegram coming for baptism. He accepted the Lord, he said, when he was 4 years old, riding home with his mom. And so he remembers that, and his folks believe he is saved, so he wants to follow the Lord in baptism. So all these people are here at the front, and I hope you'll take a minute to come by and greet them before you go on your way, and take time to greet others as well before you go. If you can be back Tuesday evening for one of the services, I hope you will be. And I say especially for the early service. We usually have a lot of visitors that night, and so it's good to come a little bit early. That's 7 o'clock, not at 5:30, when Christmas is on, or Christmas Eve is on Sunday. We have it at 5:30, but other times we have it at 7. Then there's plenty of room at 11 o'clock, and so we invite you to come to that as well. And if you can help in the nursery, don't forget to sign up. I'd like to suggest some of you go down and look at the nursery. It's so beautifully decorated. The Panosians did that. You go down and look at it, and maybe you'll, you know, feel led then to help out on Tuesday evening. All right, we sang three verses of number 85. Let's go back and sing the first and last verses again, and then we'll be dismissed. Number 85, first and last verses.